for tuning in to the Bent Entrepreneurship Podcast. I am your host, Kate, and I'm so excited to be hosting you for yet another episode this week. If you're new here, karibu sana. If you've been here before, thank you so much for coming back. It is truly an honor that you keep coming back. On this week's episode, I'd like for us to discuss a few lessons that I picked up from a series that I watched over this past weekend, which is ding, 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 Inventing Anna on Netflix. Guys, I think swindle culture is becoming a thing. And I think it's been happening. It's just that it hasn't been broadcast the way Netflix has brought it out in the past 2 months. It started with a Tinder swindler. My gosh. People have a lot of money in this world. And people don't question people that they love, because people have been scammed out of a lot of money in this world. And those are just two examples of people who are caught in the act, but I'm sure there are a lot of others who are still walking the streets repeating the same narrative over and over again until the day they get caught. Uzuri, in Kenya we say siku za mwizi ni arubaini. So eventually they do get caught, just that it depends first of all where you are and who is dealing with you once you're caught. There are places where they'll go scot-free, there are places where there's not enough evidence to convict them so they're released, there are places where they actually face serious jail time to the extent of a death sentence. So it just depends on where exactly you are along that life cycle when you're caught. But anyway, it was very interesting to watch Anna, because for me, I found her character very interesting, especially because in her head she had convinced herself that she was an entrepreneur, and everything that she was putting, all her justification around why she did what she did was because she is a businesswoman. And she wasn't even sorry in the end. She says that she just regrets a few things that she did. There are some things that she would do differently. But mostly, no. Because why? She was very clear on her why. I'm always talking about your why, because it can be such a driver for you as an entrepreneur. Now imagine, this young girl, she came from Germany, came to the States with nothing, and managed to convince the creme de la creme of the US that she's a rich mommy with a lot of money and a trust fund waiting to be expensed. And people fell for it. And I felt that we can pick a lesson or two from her. As much as her story was not their best, she didn't make the best of choices, but she does have some traits that would have made her be a very great entrepreneur if she hadn't gotten caught. The thing is, I still think that if she got that money at the point when she wanted it, no one would have ever discovered what she's up to. It would have ended there, because now she would have the money to finance everything that she wanted to do. And she would have done it, imagine. And all that money would have turned legitimate, and she would have paid off her loans. That business would have made her the kind of money that she wanted. But I loved how they portrayed her, at least on Netflix, as a go-getter, as someone who would stop at nothing to actualize her dream. And it was even more interesting for me that she was very convinced that she was a businesswoman, and that's all it was. No degree, no prior business experience, nothing, no background whatsoever. But she pulled off quite the scam, and she scammed even banks. You know how banks can be so, I don't know, they make their processes very long, but she even managed to, like, she managed to screw people who it's not easy to lie to. Banks do a lot of due diligence, and for her loan application to have even made it that far, that She was just one step away from getting the amount of money that she was going after. That was some pretty badass stuff that was going on in her life. Anyway, so what lessons can we pick from her? Well, number one, I think confidence is everything. If you saw Anna, when she was socializing with these creme de la creme or speaking to these people who were rich, she sounded like she knew what she was doing. And even when they disregarded her, maybe because of her age or how she was dressed, or maybe because they didn't know her, she acted like she was known, like she was somebody. And eventually it paid off for her because she was able to penetrate those circles. And I think my favorite part was where she managed to convince the team that she wanted to work with her on actualizing this social club of hers to actually work with her. She identified that one person who could get her around all those circles and be recognized. And once she did, they all knew her. And once they knew her, she knew her stuff. So she would pitch herself to these people and show up and tell them, yeah, I'm the Anna. Yes, I'm Anna. You know, and I think that was pretty remarkable. I think if I had that kind of confidence, ningekuwa mbali. Because I think confidence can get you through doors that no one is willing to open for you. You just need to sound like you know your stuff. And that lady actually did that. She got through places where most people wouldn't. She penetrated circles of rich people. Have you ever tried going to talk to a rich person when they don't even know you? And you know they don't even bother to try and know you. They just, next, you know, we don't know you. Who the hell is Anna? You know, that's how they were behaving. But she managed. Imagine, she even ended up on a yacht with a rich guy, got her boyfriend's business funding, like just from looking like she knows what she's talking about. That confidence right there is amazing. But I think she also had to really convince herself of her narrative, because she kept on mentioning how she's an heiress with $60 billion in trust that she can't access, that her father is holding on to. And that was the narrative that she carried all through. And people believed her, because you see, if you repeat the same thing over and over again, it sort of becomes your truth. And people were getting convinced by her. That's why she was able to talk to so many people. And because her story was the same, people wouldn't doubt her, if you get what I mean. I'm not saying mkwe wa kora, no, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that it's important for you to know that if you want access the high and mighty, you need to be confident in what you know. And it doesn't need to be even just the high and mighty. Just anyone. You might not know much, but the minute you stand in front of someone and you're able to defend what it is that you believe in, more often than not, people will believe you. And that's pretty incredible if you ask me. Yeah? So Anna had her confidence was out of this world. If you've not watched the series, please take some time and watch it. You'll understand what I mean. Her confidence was uncanny. Guys, hey. Anyway, it's important to be confident. Another thing I learned from her is that as an entrepreneur, sometimes you'll find you're the only person who believes in your dream. And you might say it quite a lot. You know, you say, I have this big idea. I want to do this, and that. And sometimes you have to do a lot of extra work just to prove to people that this big idea that you have is something that is worth their while. And it really helps if you're open to, you know, putting in the work so that people can see where your passion is coming from and where it's leading to. I'll give you an example from the movie. When she was trying to get funding from Fortress, she approached this guy who was, I guess from his depiction, he was like a fund manager or something. And he was the person that she had been told would help her access the kind of money that she wanted. And when she first walked in to pitch her idea to him, she asked, he asked her about all the right questions, the questions investors usually ask. So what are your projections looking like? What are you expecting in terms of revenue? You know, how do you intend to scale your business? And when she first walked in, she had nothing. The next time she found herself in that office, she had done an entire business plan with all those questions that she had been asked answered. To the extent that she was able to convince this guy to take her on, despite the fact that she had no experience, nothing. She was just starting. All that she had was her idea. And she believed in it so much that she was able to make someone else believe in it. She put it on paper and it became a real thing, you know? So as an entrepreneur, it's very important to remember that you are the person carrying your vision. And if you want everyone else to see your vision, you have to be very clear about where you're headed with it. You shouldn't be afraid to defend your business. You should always be ready to speak up and speak out whenever anyone tries to criticize. Take the positive criticism, turn it around, ignore the negative criticism, because of course, like in her case, her boyfriend didn't believe in her idea because he had his own idea. No, he was working on a software called Awake, something like that. And it was basically supposed to be a software that helps maintain your subconscious memories after you're awake. You know, like, for example, he was saying that it would take you 10 seconds after you wake up to forget your dream. And, well, it's true. So he was saying, imagine the kind of knowledge that you would capture if you are able to identify that knowledge and see what is going on in the subconscious mind of others. It's pretty awesome, if you ask me. But he had his idea, yes, but Anna also had hers, and he didn't believe in hers enough. So he just kept pushing her to help him with his. But the good thing about Anna is she didn't let it go. She decided, fine, she was going to help him, but she was going to push her own agenda as well. And when she saw that this guy was not going to help her get to where she wants to be, she kicked him out of her life. she really messed up things for him. But bottom line, she believed in her dream even when others didn't believe in it. And that's a struggle that we as entrepreneurs have to deal with. And it's important to be able to fight for what you believe in. It's very, very, very key that you do exactly that. Another lesson that we can learn from Anna is that your networks are your net worth. Anna was very particular about the people that she surrounded herself with. There was an intention around each person that she came across and interacted with in her life. There is this rich high-end lady who helped introduce her to the big leagues, the circle of people who were the who's who in the country. And she really capitalized. Like, she just needed that one person to introduce her. And once she was introduced, she stuck to those networks and she built her name. She built her brand within those networks and people didn't forget who she was. It's pretty awesome if you ask me. She also really worked hard to make sure that the people around her had an idea about what her wealth looked like, because she felt that if people know you're rich, they treat you different. So you'll find she took people on holidays, they went and stayed in fancy hotels, they ate in fancy hotels. But it wasn't her money at the end of the day. She was just trying to keep up appearances. And that can be very dangerous, especially spending money that you don't have to show people that you have money. That can never work well for you. So it's important that even as you try to build networks, you build networks but being you. You don't have to defraud people. You just need to work a little bit harder than those who are already in those circles to get in. But once you're in and you've earned people's respect, and you haven't put people in compromising situations for being in your corner, then it really helps to grow your networks positively. So don't get over indebted just trying to please people. That is not the lesson here. The lesson here is that you should capitalize on who you know to gain networks. And those networks, at the end of the day, are the ones who will open doors for you. If you watch the movie, you'll see how that manifested in her story. Let me just leave that for you to go and see for yourself. But she really managed to create mighty networks based on the few people that she met and how she was able to use them to propel forward. Another lesson that you can learn from Anna is that, hey, you shouldn't strive to look rich, but instead work hard to be rich. Her MO was basically to look a certain way, because again, as I've said earlier, she realized that when you don't look rich, the rich treat you differently. But truth be told, if you look around, those really, really rich people in the world don't look it. They don't look it. Fine, they'll have a number of cars in their driveway, big houses and all that. But if you just see them in person, you wouldn't even know they're rich, because they don't dress in Dior and Versace throughout. They just look simple and professional to the extent that they need to. Sometimes you'll even find them in shorts and sandals if they're just chilling, and that's okay too. But for her, it was really important to look the part. She went into so much debt and even stole money to look a certain way from someone who was being kind and generous to her. Imagine. That is so wrong. But anyway, the problem is wanting to look rich and yet you have nothing. It's more important to create that wealth. Then the look will come. It will come with the jurisdiction, I guess. The richer you become, the more and more capable you are of acquiring these big brands if you need them. And then they sort of don't become a necessity because you understand the value your money carries. You don't necessarily want to just dispose money because you want to look a certain way. You only spend money if it's giving you back value. So as an entrepreneur, work hard or work smart to make sure that you grow your wealth, not trying to look a certain way and to please people and yet you have absolutely nothing to show for it. Don't look rich, be rich. Another lesson we can draw from her story is to trust but verify. This is a lesson that I learned the minute I got into banking. You can trust someone, even your most closest confidant, but it's important to just follow your instincts and just confirm if what this person that you trust very much is saying is the truth. The reason I say this is, in the case of Anna, you'll find she found herself in situations so often where the people around her were doubting her character. Like, how can your credit card have an issue all the damn time? Even though we're in a different country, your bank should be able to resolve your issue. They should find a way, you know. But for them, she kept using the same narrative. Oh, my bank, my bank, my bank. And no one actually went a step further to be like, let's call your bank together. We see if there's anything we can do to help, or if we can offer suggestions for ways that they can help us complete the payment while you wait. Or even how she acted when people brought up the story of her father just showed she was sketchy, you know. Anyone who tried to ask about who her father was and why he had cut her off, or why she was an heiress and yet she was living in debt, she would really overreact and make it look like this person has asked the worst possible question in the world, like the dad was the most terrible person in the world. But at the end of the day, it was just a way to cover up her lies. So it's important that in the business world, when you're dealing with people, just try as much as possible to trust what they say, but do your due diligence. That due diligence is what saved a certain bank a lot of money. She was going for a $40 million loan. And imagine if she had gotten that money and then disappeared or defaulted on the loan repayments, or just fine, she had the intention to start this club, but once the money is in her hands, tambo alipe madeni, she'll probably be left with little, or rather not enough to actualize the business the way she wanted. And then, like, that due diligence bit is what saved that man. And the others that were scammed didn't really do their due diligence. Hotels that were allowing her to stay without a credit card, that is not normal. You know, they would at least try to authenticate the payment, confirm that the money is there. You don't have to, you know, take it back. I've seen that technology in my bank personally. Sometimes you'll see you're paying for something online and they send a mimic transaction. Even with Instagram, for example, when you're registering to do a promotion, usually they'll send like a transaction of like 100 shillings to see if the account is real, and then they'll reverse the money. But it would be foolish of them to just accept any card number that's given to them, and they don't verify if it has the money, if it's good to make the payment. It was fine. She would give cards, but more often than not, they were declined. And when one card, two cards, three cards are declined after the service has been consumed, you know, there's only so much you can do. The worst you can do is maybe kushikisha mtu, but you can't exactly do much for that. You leave them to the hands of the police. And some people have, they're connected enough to get themselves out of those situations. So that's not, it's not due diligence, if you ask me. There was so many gaps in that story as far as how people interact with each other and to what extent they trust each other without verifying. But for me, I'm one of those people. I don't indulge until I've done my proper research on you as a person and any business we intend to do together. And that's the wise way to do things. So I hope those lessons are clear to you and you can borrow from it. If you haven't watched the series, please, please, please just watch it. There's so much you can learn. It'll also help you see how scam artists work and how you can be able to identify them even within your circles. I was really surprised after the Tinder Swindler movie came out. A lot of influencers around the world did a Q&A on this among their audience, and it was surprising how many people have been swindled, or how many people knew people like this in their circles and they did nothing about it. It's really sad, and we need to stay woke. We need to know what is happening in the world and adjust ourselves, because you might be the next victim. And they don't have to come in a dating scenario or in a business scenario, but whichever way they come, they will get you if you refuse to be woke, if you refuse to learn from the mistakes of others. That was a fun episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please feel free to reach out via Instagram on the Bent Entrepreneurship Podcast, Facebook, the same handle. And you can also reach out on my personal page, Kate Bezalel on Instagram, and I shall be able to respond to any feedback that you give me on the episode. Please, please, please like, follow, and subscribe on your various podcast platforms so that we can be able to interact and share on our episodes. It's been nice. It's been real. Have a great week. Cheers, guys. Bye.